This sermon was downloaded from spiritnerds.org. We equip Christians with thousands of strategic spiritual materials daily. Join millions of Christians around the world who have come to Spirit Nerds to learn about God and His Word today.
Every demonic orchestration against you, against your family, against your loved ones, go ahead and neutralize them. Neutralize them. There is no evil that shall come near our tents. There is no scourge that shall come nigh our dwelling place. The dwelling place of the righteous shall be peaceful and calm. It shall be a place of sure dwelling. Abara so savema ategoba. Abra so saila, bra so saila. Katadambo, menta kaboma agdi. Evina luara azazefo samina. Ebaura sa save, sabalanta. Abraskove mandasos, mandasos, mandasos. Skamalande, nutabana, nutabana, nutabana. Katalara zuzaifesobi. Ebara uzasamina. Karanade, karanade. Espabonem bras kevomanta. Eberuga zasa. Every divination, every demonic summon, kabo latana, aviton kabalante, evia kababande meno, ebraso savina maagde, kabalantena, kabalantena, askamobe, lutabania, aimande kubambe, oh, ikuta mambes. Scaboman lata, atu gabena kata, avevende breso saila, eparos, for every battle of the warrior is with confused noise and comes rolled in blood. You cannot not shed blood. O parasu sapa, avitan takamo, o pai lakata. La katana, la katabona maagde, o saita kabo, o riala mahabene zasa. We give you glory, we give you glory, we give you praise. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'd like us to just be seated maybe for 20, 25 minutes briefly. And then we'll be up again to pray. Hallelujah. There was something that was meant to show to us yesterday. If you are going to prosper and be proficient in spiritual warfare, there are certain critical considerations. Praise the Lord. And there are ministry flows that shape you. The moment someone signs up to join the military, let's say the Nigerian army, for instance. Is there any military personnel here? Okay, maybe none today. Praise the Lord. I wanted to be a military man, and I was already hinted, I already had heads up on what was awaiting me at the depot. So I started preparing myself, I started training myself, just to ensure that at least I have some endurance threshold before I get there. And when you get there, there are trainings they give to you. There are drillings they give to you. So much so that if you enroll joining the army through the regular course, I applied for the 55 regular course. All it will take for you to come out as a graduate and also as a soldier is 5 years. You go in as a civilian. You are subject to certain processes, and then you come out as a soldier. So if you had a friend who, maybe a lanky friend, someone who was fearful all along while you guys were growing up, and if the person there finds himself or herself at the depot, when they come out, they are not the same person you have always known. The church I was a part of, there was this young lady. Very, if you see her, she was just, the only thing that you can say she has as an advantage is her height. And she got enrolled into the Nigerian Army through their regular programs. And after the period, she came out. The day she arrived, church in her military uniforms and everything, everybody, they were wondering at her. Because something had happened to this lady. She went in as a civilian, a lady. You know, they would say woman. But there are many guys here that if you were to confront that lady, you need to be careful with your life. Because even though she is in a feminine body, she has been subject to a training that is not feminine nor masculine. It's the military training. Do you get what I'm talking about? At the end, she turned out as a kind of person. And if, as a Christian, as a believer, one of the height and the peak of your destiny in God is to be a soldier. And you're going to find that in the book of Ephesians chapter 6, where you are now needed to be clothed in the right garment. When we talk about war, you don't wear agbada or traditional wears and you are going to battle. Bullets will pierce you somewhere. There are apparels, there are garments for battle. And if you are wearing the military garment without the military training, you will still going to be exposed. Praise the Lord. So there are certain salient issues to consider if you are going to engage in spiritual warfare. And the reason why we have a lot of casualties is because we are not told and we are not prepared. There was this story of a military drill sergeant that I heard about. And this man, when new recruits came to the depot, he was training them. And one of them began to lament and like, "Do you want to kill us? Why are you subjecting us to so much rigor, all right, and tediums?" And he told them, I don't want to return you back to your mom dead. The reason why I have to carry you through all of these tediums, this rigor, this training and drills that it looks as if the drill sergeant is a wicked man, is one, he just told them, "If I don't carry you through this, I will return you back to your mother as a dead person. And whether you're going to see your mother alive or dead is subject to the kind of training you go through." And in Christendom, there are trainings that we have to go through if we are not going to be returned back to our mother's dead. If your Christianity is not going to become a scarecrow, that they will say, is it that one? This church thing you're talking about. We don't see and plain to you. The other day when this person, they have names, they have those years of people that are doing born again thing and how they perished. Are you still here? Have you not seen people that rose up as Christians with a lot of pomp? And then they went down so suddenly that you are wondering, is Christianity weak? Is it that God is not powerful? And this is against the backdrop of the fact that for some of us who have had histories in darkness, maybe you were member of the militia before, and for you to go out to fight, you need to carry some amulets, some charms, and all of that. And now you are a Christian, not to use those protective provisions means you are becoming vulnerable. And if the God you are subscribing to cannot protect you, in my place, they say men know they bite. My dad used to have a knife. The name of the knife is called Ogaga. If a man who knows how to use that knife uses it on a person, it can pierce through the chest to the back. And one of those is my immediate elder brother took it out to go and fight with it. And then when my dad discovered, the reason why he was angry is, as you took this knife, if they seize it or it gets lost, do you want me to bite if fight comes to my house? And we were trained like that, that as a young guy, you have your knife in your you have a knife, you have a chain, you have a dangerous weapon. All right? You carry metals to the blacksmith and then they forge knives with spikes for you. So that if anybody tries you, if you jab somebody, if you're going to pull it out, you pull out both flesh and intestine and everything. We were trained with that consciousness that men don't fight. And you need to, being a man is not with muscle, it's in the heart here. So you can find a very lanky person that looked, he doesn't look powerful, but what he can put a knife to the throat of somebody and slit it. And then you see another hefty man, when he sees blood, he says, blood, blood, he just can't stand blood. It is in the heart. We're going for Reverend Boniface's wedding, was it in 2012, I think 2012 or so, going to Kaduna, and we had boarded this taxi. I was at the front of the taxi, and somewhere in Lafia, our vehicle killed somebody, all right? A vehicle brushed Okada down, and then we were just right there, and I heard proop, 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 and then the man was dead, and it was on Friday. They were coming from Jumat prayers, and I just knew that I grew up in the north. I knew what was going to happen except God intervened. The women in the car, they were shouting, is he dead? He's dead. Oh, God. See tears. See eyes were red. And the driver went a distance and stopped. I came out of the vehicle because my brain was calculating. Are they going to burn? I had to ensure that I go far away from the scenario. If you had come there, if you see the women, you will know everybody in that vehicle because of the soft heart. He's dead. Is he dead? Did the man die? He's dead. He's dead. Oh, my mother, my mother. I was one fat woman. The woman, she has with, and she was doing like this. I said, if you don't stop this thing you are doing, if these guys come and they round up those who are in the vehicle, you are gone. I had to go like 50 meters away, and then I stood afar to see what was going to happen, whether there's going to be flame or not. It takes heart. Do you get what I'm talking about? Amen. So, there are certain things you need to consider, and I want to bring it to you. It doesn't look like it, but these are the things that shapes you and puts you, makes you to be in form, in shape for spiritual warfare. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. Very, very fast. For this is Isaiah chapter 9, verse 5. I only quoted it. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. I'd like you to write out the four items we have there. Write out the four items we have there. Number one is profitable for doctrine. Number two, for reproof. Three, correction. Four, instruction in righteousness. For every military training, there are instructions. One of the trainings you receive as a military man is how to read map. All right? One of the young men who passed out from NDE, was it 2020 or thereabout? I've forgotten the precise year now. They came to the tent at the time. They left the depot and they didn't want to go and show themselves to their families. They came to show themselves to the Lord first. So I was around and then we met and then we're discussing. And one, when he was saying he left Kaduna at 2000 hours. You will say 10 o'clock, no, 8 o'clock. The way they read time is different from the way we read time. I'm coming to your house by 2 o'clock. That 2 o'clock, the military man says 1400 hours. And when they are communicating, they are giving location in terms of compass, northeast 20 degrees south. And you are wondering if there is a bomber that is supposed to attack a base, the way they communicate the location to them is not that place close to High Level Market. If you turn right, that is not how they talk. They talk in terms of degrees and angulations. 15 degrees south, not 15 degrees southwest. And then that coordinate is picked on their instrument and they release. Do you understand what I'm talking about? So if you are going to read, understand spiritual warfare, one of the things you need to pay attention to is called doctrine. Doctrine simply means teaching. You need to pay attention to the truths of the Bible, the truths of the Word of God. I want us to pray, so I'm not going to go really into all of that. Doctrines reproves the Word of God that is given to us. One is for teaching. You need to know what to do, how to do, when to do, what you need to do. Like when our father was teaching us about the accursed thing. It is something that is meant to preserve you. When Achan touched the accursed thing, the entire nation of Israel was shut down. In fact, they became exposed. They became vulnerable. That is the first time in scripture I am seeing the Lord telling somebody not to pray. Joshua had 12 hours of prayer. You know, 12 hours of tongues, 12 hours of prayer. And when he finished praying from morning till night, lying down in God's presence and complaining and praying, why is Israel beaten down before her adversaries? And God said, get up from here. What are you doing here? Israel has touched their costing. Why? If you read the law of Moses, the Torah, you're going to see all the prescriptions that God has given. And other times, there are specific instructions that is battle, there are instructions that are battle specific. For King Saul, God told him, when you get to Amalek, completely wipe out everything. I was speaking to a military man this afternoon, and he said, Daddy, you know, I cannot disobey your instruction. But he wanted to make his point plain so that whatever instruction I'm giving to him, I will understand, and then I can give him a kind of an informed instruction. He is meant to leave Abuja to come to Makurdi. And I told him this, do this, do this. This is at the issues on ground. God told King Saul, when you go, these are the things you are meant to do. And Saul went and he disobeyed the commanding officer in heaven. You may not know why God rejected him until you come into a military template. Go and kill everybody, and then he did it, and then he didn't carry out complete obedience, and God was angry, and the kingdom was taken from him. Why? Is God not being too mean? Until you get into military parlance, then you know that you have to obey the last order, even with your life. And this understanding has helped me in life, in ministry, in my sonship a lot. 2018 or thereabout, I don't know, I've forgotten the exact year now. Apostle asked me to go to Mubi to go and preach for him. He was supposed to preach there, and he was not going to be to make it. So he asked me to go there, and before I went, I was told about what was happening in Mubi. That was when Boko Haram had bombed. There was a twin bomb blast in that same, like few days to the meeting, there was a twin bomb blast. And the chapel that I was going to preach at Adamawa University Chapel, that chapel, they had burnt down that chapel. Boko Haram had burned the place twice. That burned the place down two times, and they built it. When I went, the place was not yet painted. After they built it, they had not yet painted it. And I considered all that I have heard, the fear in the heart, the whole consideration, bomb blast everywhere, and all of that. The fact that my commanding officer physically say, go. I hit the road. There was something I wanted to do that I thought up and down, and I said, no, let me not do it. I wanted to write a note and keep for my wife that as I am going, if I don't come back, I know that Apostle Solomon will take care of you and he will take care of my boys. So that the only reason why I didn't write it was, if my wife reads it, the fear in her heart will expose me more. And when I went for that meeting, they kept me in the presidential wing of the hotel. So there were 3 bedrooms. The bed was so massive, 6 persons can be on the bed. I didn't sleep on the bed one time. I slept on the rug. And if there was any movement outside, I come alive. I was there. I arrived there. I left Makodi on Thursday. Yeah, because I think I spent 5-6 days in all. Left on Thursday, got back to Makodi on Monday. It was when I was ready to carry my bag to enter vehicle to leave Mubi that the chaplain say, you must eat before you go. I didn't have the courage to eat all through my stay or preaching there, because I was meant to stop preaching by 6:45 because they are afraid of Boko Haram. In fact, they thought that Boko Haram, the twin bomb blast, was because of that meeting. So I was going to embrace death. And I can tell you, by the time I came back from that place, something changed on my head. I can almost say I came from death to life. There was something I felt on my head that I didn't feel. It was in that meeting that I called deaf people out, and then it was like a joke. Deaf ears were opening, like in one meeting, I saw 8 of them. 8 deaf ears opened on the spot because my life was in my hand. Why? I carry, oh my God. When I got to Yola Town on Sunday night around 8 or 9, I heaved, like there was a sigh of relief. Thank God. The military checkpoints from Yola to Mubi. Oh my God. I left Yola Town before 7 in the morning. I arrived Mubi almost 2 p.m. because of checkpoints. And as you are traveling, you are looking this way and this way to ensure that these guys are not coming with a chaba to come and burn and do some whatever. So there was fear, but there was an instruction, there was an errand, and I'm running, and I know who sent me. And I'm not even saying God. I'm saying Apostle sent me, and the reason why I went, not minding, I had countered the course. The worst that can happen is that I'm dead. And the people I'm leaving behind, there is a man that I know will take care of them. When you get into teaching, understanding through knowledge, there is a safety that comes to you. Praise the Lord. Number 2, reproofs. You need to watch. What is reproof? Reproof is not the same as rebuke. Rebuke is like, do what I say, but don't do what I do. All right? You see a man beating his child for smoking, but the man also smoked. You don't know, say smoking is bad. He's beating the child. Why are you drinking? Reproof is, I let you know what you are doing wrong by what I am doing right. Praise the Lord. Reproof is not sweet. The next one is correction. There are loose ends in our lives that if we don't tie them and harness them, they constitute advantages to the devil against our own lives. Hallelujah. And there are things that maybe, this is the house, this is my place of primary assignment, and I have the responsibility for your safety. You cannot have a family that will prosecute spiritual warfare successfully if the head of that home has been manipulated away from his headship. Hello. Did you hear what I just said? Oh, lady, if you use whatever influence you have to make your husband become timid and is not standing in the place of authority, you have no cover. When rain comes, when the storm comes, when the warfare starts, you will go down. Spiritual warfare is not primarily, first of all, what you do. That is why when we read to, where I read to us yesterday in the book of Titus chapter 1 from verse 4, you see that the reason why God left, Paul left Titus in Crete is so that he can put in order the things that need to be put in order. Is this hard for you? You know, when I say some of these things, when I leave the pulpit, the women come to meet me and they tell me that you finish us. It's not about finishing you, it's about safety. It's about divine order. So, you know, the other day, someone came to the office and a lady, she wanted to borrow a book. She wanted to borrow a book from my office. And I said no. And she was pleading, "Daddy, please, please." She was doing like really pleading. And I said, "Let me help this lady." And I stomped my feet on the ground and I said no. And I kept saying no, 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 no. What was I trying to cure? I was trying to cure that manipulative tendencies. Even my daughter, I don't spare her. And I don't say she's a child. Because if you don't deal with it, it grows. When you hear no, take it. Take no for no. You will be safer in spiritual warfare. We have a commanding officer and we don't have a relationship by explanation. The relationship is by instruction. And here you are finding instruction in righteousness. God did not tell King Saul why they should not take anything out of Amalek. Until you get to Exodus 17, you will discover the real root of what God was doing to Amalek. In the time of Joshua, God told Moses, rehearse this thing in the ears of Joshua, that there shall be war between Israel and Amalek until Amalek is completely wiped out of the face of the earth. And now Saul is made to carry out an ancient battle and he went and compromised instruction. He couldn't take commandments. See, correction. Correction is the tool to harness excellence and power. And the Bible says a child left to himself will bring his parents shame. Any day, any time you see the voices of correction, the voices of caution, the voices of counsel withdrawn from you, you are already given up to the dead. And you should be wary of being with a leader, being with pastors who don't correct you. Be careful of them. You are not being brought up to speed, up to standard for the demand of the warfare of your own destiny. But the Christianity we have right now, that you hate the people that correct you. So that everybody is now minding their business. Everybody just want to be in the good books of everybody. I don't want to be in your books, talk more, or be in a good one. Because I don't want to return you back to your mother dead. Correction and reproof are not sweet. Most times, doctrines Some aspect of doctrines are sweet. How to move in the gift of the Spirit. How to move in the anointing. How to move power. When you hear power, somebody shout power, your body is doing you like this. And that is not, there are instances where you find yourself that the challenge is not with what you have. The advantage the devil will have over a Christian in spiritual warfare, most times it's not with what they have, it is with what they don't have. So you find the armor is so comprehensive, the assurance of salvation. If you are not sure that you are really born again, the devil can play pranks on you. Sometime in my life, I was reading a book, and then this man of God said that some people speak fake tongues. Do you know what the devil did with me by reading a Christian book? That some people read their tongues are fake tongues, and the devil started convincing me that my own tongues was fake. And for days I stopped speaking in tongues, and I began to pray, oh God, baptize me with fire, baptize me. That period my life was going down until it was like everywhere was dark. And I just sat and said, when I was speaking in tongues, there was brilliance. So something is wrong with what I'm listening. That you become assured. There are instances where I went through temptations on campus that I didn't believe I was born again. How can you be a believer and you see a lady and your body is doing you like this? What is going on? What is happening? I began to pray and giving my life to Christ again and again, over and over. I give you my life, over and over. I give you my soul, over and over and over again. Becoming born again. That is why I have to tell Pastor Mike Anjorin for the discipleship follow-up class. There is assurance of salvation. There is assuring your salvation. I don't know if there are people here that you went through that. Every altar call that is made, you respond. Because you don't feel born again. And if the helmet is not in place, somewhere down the line, the devil will play pranks on your mind. That is why your grasp on doctrine need to be solid. But because you are on a journey, you need to make allowance for reproofs and for corrections. If you did project in school and your supervisor was a very tough man, you were lucky. Many of us go for those men that don't even have time to read through all the errors. The grammatical construct is just so bad. You just lift. Everything about your work is, it doesn't stand, it cannot be put in the library. And you have a man that you wrote chapter 1 to 3, he tears it and then say, go and start again. You go, say, this man is a wicked man, he's a bad belay man. And because of what he's doing, he puts you on your toes and you go and you now contribute to knowledge. You did a standard work that is published in an international journal, and that is why you are traveling around the world. And if you were handled like lightly, your potentials will be kept under lock and key. Corrections. If you are going to be victorious in Christian warfare, pay attention to the truth of the word of God. Pay attention to where there is reproofs coming. Pay attention to correction, and pay attention to instruction. When you hold your fire and you are still doing kaka kaka because gone the sweet, you will just project yourself to a sniper that is 2 kilometers away, and then he will pick you up. In all handle of military, sniper, that is the one that fascinates me. I like the length of the gun, and I like the impact. When you cock, 23 seconds, you take aim. After 20... So you can do damage clean and then couple everything, put inside your knapsack, and then bounce from here to Uruku Market. They will not know that you are the one that is the culprit. Praise the Lord. Hold your fires. Praise the Lord. Pay attention to that. Then the next thing is, there are heart postures you need to take. Go to verse 17. That the man of God, give me the scripture that says, be somber, be vigilant. That should be 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. Go to verse 7. Say, you should cast all your cares upon him, for he careth for you. Say, be somber, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Somberness for the Christian soldier. If you get carried away, that is why Apostle was saying the other day that if 1 billion enters his account, you will not know, because he's not going to be given to that overly excitement. Oh, I don't hammer caca like this. When you are saying, thank God, it don't come. It don't happen. You know, when people begin to hammer, you know. How do you know? There are train parties around. They go to the village to go and show everybody that I don't come. You can be great and not look it. And the protocol, the wisdom is look 4 times less than you are worth. Don't carry all of you on you. If not, you might expose yourself to battles you are not expecting and you're not prepared for. And be vigilant, be watchful. Whenever someone begins to come into your close circle, don't cast away caution. And maybe for pastors, I have learned not to give an instant embrace to people I have known that I have not seen for some time. There is the way corruption and decay, defilement climbs into genuine people really, really fast. Is most times from people they know. You saw them, you knew the guy from secondary school. While you were in secondary school, he was on fire. He was born in there. 7 years after, you found him and then you embrace him with the knowledge of the past. You don't know what has happened in between. While I was pastor on campus, one of my members, she just went to church one of those Sundays, and coming back from church, you know, Wuruku Market area, she saw one of her secondary school mates. So the guy, hey, is this you? Oh my God, I can't believe this is you. Oh my God, turn around, let me see. Hey, you have not changed. You still look. They did all of those. They said, when are you going to visit me? She calculated, I said, next Sunday after service, she will go to visit him, then come from there to fellowship. She was a choir director. She used old knowledge, no vigilance. That is past knowledge to run current relationship. And on Sunday, while she closed one church, okay, I'm done. I'll be in your place in just a couple of minutes and everything. By the time she got there, the house, everybody had gone on errand except the guy. Everybody went to do something. One went to clear way bill that is not even on the way at all. This one went to visit an uncle that is not an uncle at all. The two of them were at home, and the guy was playing a soft music. Tingan, tingan, tingede, tingeden, ting. Hey, she came, gave her no juice, just, you know, the way he takes the juice, and then, you have a nice house. The long and short of the story was that I called her. As at when my call was entering into her phone, the clothes were already off the body. And she told the guy, let me pick my call. The guy said, let's finish. You can return the call. And when she saw the phone, it was Pastor Tony Aldo. She was naked and started crying. Started weeping and then piecing up herself one after the other until she left that place crying. This is a Christian lady that never knew anything like immorality. No vigilance. When people come into your circle, Pastor, if people begin to come to your circle, be pray about each of them and know what it is. You cannot know men physically. You have to know men in the spirit. Your place of work, if you are not taking a posture of vigilance, that is a caution you will cast away that will make you a casualty of spiritual warfare. And especially when spiritual warfare is weaved into daily life. A woman met me. She said, Pastor Tony, I'm going through a lot. What is the issue? Old university days friends, they got, she had already gotten married as at the time, and they are working now in the same organization. The guy had been, you know, those days he was having a crush on her. Now she got married to somebody else, and they were at work, in their place of work. Every day they see themselves, everything is going on normal, until Satan began to trouble their sexual life. And the man said he doesn't want to have another child, and then he's just doing later C on the bed. He will sleep and face his side, and then the woman is there. Do you know what is going on? The proximity. You could see the heart connection was so strong that is only what was keeping her married woman was, it wasn't as thick as a thread, the width of a thread. And when she spoke to me, I said, okay, we need to talk to this mommy. We need to talk to this mommy, because this kind of sensitive things is not something that a young man should keep alone. So we have to get some matured mommies involved. Any woman that comes and is coming to tell you issues in counseling that has to do with sexual issues and is not ready for your wife to come in, run away from her. Repost her. Reassign her. If I counsel you once, twice, and you are still in the same thing, you have lost the right to a third counseling. You will see Pastor George. And when you go to Pastor George is, I think, maybe he is tougher than myself. When he gives you instruction and you are just doing your own thing, you will meet Reverend Alfonso. Why did you laugh? Did I call some kind of names? Hallelujah. You will meet some kind of people. Discuss those things, because anywhere sex is discussed, sex is ready to happen. Faith coming by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And sex also come by hearing and hearing. When you begin to find your soul being inundated, being exalted, that is time you are losing your vigilance. Run. You are not the Alpha and Omega. You receive the Holy Ghost with measure. Only Jesus Christ had the Holy Ghost without measure. There are things I cannot do. And there are many of them. And it is this your own matter. I cannot do it. This is your own very matter. Go and meet the next person. Be vigilant. Know when your heart is beginning to go, your heart is, you are beginning to be lost. Don't say you are a strong man. Wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. That liberty will take you out of God. Liberty to become loose. Be careful. The posture, heart posture of somberness. When a man is somber, he knows that he is not a strong man. He knows that if he doesn't watch, he will fall. Most people that fail in spiritual warfare, they fall after a season of great move of God. After a heavy time in the anointing, heavy miracles, heavy manifestations, that is where the devil comes subtly, because at that time, your guards are down. You are in the euphoria of the anointing and power. Especially for pastors. Do you know how it feels when the anointing comes upon you? you feel like 1,000 times bigger. There are things I stand there and I see and know that I cannot say with my mouth. Some of them God will show you so you know. Others, so you can pray. Very few, so you can say. Hallelujah. Vigilance and somberness. Watch yourself. Take heed to yourself. When you are in that posture, you check and you recheck and you double check. You don't just go out with assumptions and presumption that if I go, that is how Samson went out. He didn't know that some things have gone. He presumptuously went and said, I'm going to shake myself like every other time. He was not somber and he wasn't vigilant. When you are vigilant, you will know when you are losing your guards. Why are you liking to counsel only ladies? Your women ministry is beginning to increase. Your men ministry, you are finding yourself in the midst of men like Kilode. If you are vigilant, you will know the changes that the subtle changes going on in your own life. The changes are going on in a subtle, sublime way, and the devil will wait until the crack expands. He knows when to come and put a tenth peg of temptation and then hit it and then you are off. A somber man, a vigilant man, we know the changes taking place in himself. You are beginning to become prayerless. If you're not careful, you will not know. Your heart is beginning to become compromised. If you're not somber and vigilant, you will not know. And when you find yourself on those conditions, you are becoming vulnerable. You should know when, as a woman, you talk too much now. You are becoming more prone to anger, becoming more prone to resentment. You are becoming more prone to almond of bitterness. You should know that, no, I'm changing. And one of the greatest things anybody can tell you is that you are changing. And do you know what happens? And I must confess to you, in the work of the ministry, it is becoming increasingly difficult to tell people the truth. Because they need the likes, they need the shares, they need the subscription, and they need the trend. People are now finding it difficult to tell people the truth because nobody wants to multiply enemies. And Paul said, I am innocent of any man's blood. Don't run away from the people that tell you hard things. Don't run. Those are the true comrades you have in spiritual warfare. The world that said, thank God for your life, your anointing is shaking the whole world. Run. Is that okay? Amen? When you have these things in place, there is a safety place you are going to be fighting from. Remember, saved and safe are not the same. A man can be saved and not safe. And a man can be safe and not saved. Scripture says, in the multitude of counsel, there is safety. Your salvation is by the blood of Jesus. Your safety is not by the blood. It's by the word. It's by counsel. It's by instructions. Do you understand? That is why you can find someone that will tell you, you know, I'll wrap some things up in stories. Well, no time. But I got a piece of the heart of one of the fathers of the faith in this nation, like the next generation after them, Baba Adeboye's generation, the next generation. I had a contact with one of them. And that time, my wife was pregnant for our first son. And the pregnancy is usually was long. First pregnancies usually are very massive like that. And when she stands, you just see the thing is like this. And the man finished preaching. He's always talking about marriage when he comes to the particular conference we go to. And we were waiting on the queue to have time with him just to appreciate him. And I was standing with my wife. That was in August. And then my wife put the bishop came on the 8th of October. So barely a few days to bishop's arrival. So the pregnancy was already maximum pregnancy. And then my wife stood. I was standing and we're talking and waiting for this man. And when this man, it was our time to see the man looked at me and say, "Young man, is that how you treat a woman? You allow your wife to stand?" Oh. The first thing that came to me is, what have I done? What is the offense in standing with my wife and waiting for you? Do you know that kind of time, it looked like the ground should open, then you will spin like Tom and Jerry and then enter and then use your hand to cover yourself and then let it be the end. I felt like the ground should open for me to enter. And eventually, I couldn't even tell him why we wanted to see him again because the rebuke was so overwhelming that I didn't even have the courage. I was so confused. Like, what did I do wrong? It was when I came back, I sat down, I began to think. What was this man trying to sell to me? Because when he finished the rebuke and everything, he recoiled back to his happy mode and then he prayed for my wife and prayed. And then while he was praying, he said, "Oh God, make them best of friends, one with another." Say, This is how these fathers treat their wives. The fact that I didn't get a seat for my wife to sit down while waiting was enough for the man to kill me. That kind of thing makes you safe. That is why when you come around people, don't just see what is done. See how it is done. You are driving yourself, the tenth peg of your destiny, deeper into the wall of safety. Because when weight, the demand of life begin to rest, if you're not deeply rooted, you will fall. With these few points of mine, I hope I've been able to establish for you all that I have said in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. So remember doctrine, remember reproof, remember corrections, remember instructions. Begin to make yourself comfortable with these four flows, four moves of the word of God coming to you. That is how soldiers are prepared. They are corrected, they are instructed, they are taught, they are reproved. God will come to you in these four moves in his word to ensure you are safe. And do an audit of the people around you and check and see the ones that... Hello? Those that have the courage, the fortitude, enough fortitude to rebuke you, those are your best friends. Go close to them. And intentionally let them know what they are doing that you are happy with, and let them know that if they stop it, you are gone. Do you understand? Is that okay? Praise the Lord. I'd like us to pray this evening. If you don't mind, I'd like you to rise up. Evangelist Gabriel, Gabe, you know, when I preach now, I don't put my hand in my pocket. All right? Because early last year, it looked like there was some oil coming on my head and I became comfortable with hand in the pocket. And when we go home, the reprover, we say, my husband, the message today was powerful. I was so blessed. But that your hand you used to put in the pocket, I tell her, my heart is clear. God knows my heart. The second time again. But the third time, when the hand is doing like this, I remember that I'm going to hear something at home, man. That one thing that I will hear will make every other thing that I have done right to look like a waste. And yesterday, while I was ministering, the hand came alive. But the thing, it had to go this way. It didn't go this way. Be open to correction. You're going to last in spiritual warfare. How comes men are having 40 years of marriage? What did they overcome? What did they conquer? Is it that the devil didn't care about them? No, he did. Men, 57 years in ministry. Men is celebrating 40 years, 35 years of heeding the call of God. And he has carried the call in purity. Watch the things that the man is doing and what he's not doing. One of them, I'm close to him. He doesn't, women don't come to his office except his wife and his daughter. Pastor Dan, if you try it here, you know they will finish us. This man is only his wife and his daughter that are the female that have ever entered his car. His own car. He can send his pastors. You see a sister that is stranded. He will stay there. Call Pastor Timothy. Where are you? Come over. Come and move this sister. Bring the church bus. Bring the church vehicle. Send the church driver. 10 p.m. He will wait there. They will. Even police know. At checkpoint, they know. They say, man will carry oil for body, you know, they play near fire. And you are casting off away caution and you want to be safe, you want to last in spiritual warfare. You are a joker. I don't know why and how secretaries or pastors must be women. I don't know how the thing came about. But I am largely uncomfortable with it. Just the way I will not allow a male nurse to inject me, it's like I will not have a female secretary. There are two things that I will not take. A male nurse, I have not been able to wrap my mind around a man coming with needle. He will pump it with power. But when the nurse peace comes, say it's not going to be painful, I say, my wife, come and pray. Glory, pray. Glory, pray. Then before I know, but I can't trust a male nurse. Can we pray and say, Lord, open my heart. Help me to become open and to accommodate. Give me a savor, a taste board for truth, for doctrine, for instruction. Help me. Bible said that the child whom the father loves, he corrects. We must become harnessed for victories untold this year. We must have cheap victories because we are a people that are harnessed. Can you pray and say, Lord, help me. Lord, help me. Lord, help me. Father, help me. Oh God, help me to be open to the four moves of your word that comes to me in instruction. Give me an ear that hears with understanding. Give me an ear that hears, that receive knowledge, that receive instruction. Give me an ear that hears and understands counsel, to take reproof, to take rebukes, for me to become that wholesome man. You are not going to be returned back to your mother, a dead man. You will press on to destiny. When the storms are over, you will be the man standing. You will be standing on your feet. Oh God, I ask for grace to receive correction, grace to receive rebuke, grace to receive reproofs. All of this makes for you to be perfect. it makes you to be entire. You become robust and comprehensive for spiritual warfare. That is why the Bible says that let patience have her perfect work in you, so you can be entire, not lacking in anything, not wanting in anything. Oh yes, Lord. Develop yourself to that place where you take instruction, you take corrections only once. If you are corrected once, that is enough. No one will talk to you about a matter twice. Oh God, I ask for help. Every hardened aspect of my life that makes me vulnerable, that makes me exposed to attacks of darkness, Father, I ask for your help. I ask for your help. I ask for your help. Oh man, de veno sailaba, baruga preso savemanta, aitaranedo, nuga zaila. Kayena mi odon daseze filama, baraguza ze vente braski. Aruna mandena, katandaras, sobielem banaze. Oh, koria lamaha. That is why the Bible says you should submit yourself under the mighty power of God. Then you resist the devil. When you submit, you resist. If you don't submit, don't bother resisting, because that resistance will boomerang on you. Can you pray and say, oh God, help me. Lord, help me. Enandevo Savila. Abranso sampakate, kopia lamandaras, sanamande, katarani gombena sata. Oh, nurazes, negada monzata. In Jesus' name we pray. I don't know. The reason why I have to bring these things is because when I stand before the Lord to give account of my ministry and stewardship, I will not give account for when I went to Doxa Life to preach. I will not give account to when I was invited to big meetings. I will give account of the people I've been assigned to pastor and shepherd. And it's a very fearful day. That day is always before my face. Alright? It's always before my face. And I know that I'm going to be questioned. And I don't want to stammer when I arrive God's presence. I don't want to stammer. Some time ago, I was speaking with Apostle Aromi. We were talking, and then he said he will not do anything God did not ask him to do, because he said, I know what it costed me to find favor with God, and I'm not ready to lose it. Before that time, I had prayed a prayer. The prayer I had prayed was, oh God, anything I missed in my development, in my upbringing, as I grow, anything I missed, please bring them back to me. If there was a lesson I was supposed to learn that I didn't learn, that is my heartfelt prayer. I didn't ask for power. I didn't ask for anointing. I just want to be right. And while I was speaking with him, I knew that utterance is one of the things I must have installed in my development. That is why I'll remain in Benue until God says, you are going somewhere else. I want to find favor with God. And I'm not saying food and clothing and money. I just want to have that divine commitment that before I call, he answers. That I am with you always. Touch not my anointed and do my prophet no harm. It's not necessarily what you quote. It's a place you find yourself with God. It's a favor you find with God. Can you pray and say, Lord, help me find favor with you? He
said, "Lord, I don't." He said, "He knows what it costed him for God to trust him, for God to look his way, and there is nothing a man will offer to him that he will lose that favor for whatever." No wonder when he said Satan came to him, the reason why he did not go for that offer is because of that heart posture of being in favor with God. Can you pray and say, "Oh God, help me to find favor with you"? And if God be for us, spiritual warfare matters are settled matters in our favor. The one that leads us in triumph, he leads us from one victory to another victory to the next victory. It is hard on record that David fought 68 battles and he did not lose any one of them. What is the secret? Always in tune with God. Shall I go? Should I pursue them? Will you deliver them into my hand? Say yes. Pursue them, overtake, doubtless he will recover all. And he went out, recovered. The next time, David still asked God. Remember, said David inquired again, and God told him, "Don't go straight, fetch a compass round about them and wait for the signs." That is a man that wants to be in favor with God. I want to find favor with God before I go to confront the enemy. I don't want to have beef with God, because when the enemy is pounding, it is God I can run to. It is the name of the Lord that is a strong tower where I can run to and be saved. Why should I have issues with God? Oh God, help me to find favor with you. I want to find favor with you. I have studied this man, I've looked, and I'm wondering, why not me? Why can't I have favor with God? Why can't I enjoy the divine commitment? How can an apostle be boasting and say his prayer, he knows the power of his own prayer? What is the difference? What is the distinction between his prayer and your own prayer, to the extent where it has become a confidence that he can boast about it? It is favor with God. When you are in walking in favor with God, you will cure yourself of rebellion. The Bible says rebellion is as witchcraft, disobedience is like idolatry. And when you know you want to find favor with God, there is something you will deal with, that rebellion. I don't want to rebel against God. I want to be on the Lord's side. Therefore, I will hear instruction. My son, pay attention to my words. Incline your ears to my saying. Do not let them depart from your mouth, but keep them in the midst of your eyes, but keep them in the midst of your heart. For they are life to all that find them, and health to all their flesh. The prudent man foreseeth evil and hideth himself, but the simple passes on and they are destroyed. There are vulnerabilities in your own life, and his evil is destruction. But if a man who is not seeking to be in tune with God, we go on with presumption, living in disobedience, and you want God to fight for you. Bible says in the book of Exodus 14:14, the Lord shall fight for you and you shall hold your peace. But how do you get the Lord to fight for you? How do you get the Lord to be on your side? That is where the labor is. That is where the labor is. The fathers, they will come to us with the manifestation, the fruit of their alignment, the fruit of intimacy, the fruit of their obedience. We see the fruit, but we don't see the seed of obedience that they sow every day of their lives. I want to stand in obedience, in favor with God. That is why the psalmist pray. I say, "Oh God, judge me, but not with anger. Oh God, reprove me. Oh God, correct me, but not with anger. Else I'll perish." Abena ratabis, ratabis. Is there something you missed? Is there something you didn't take serious? Is there an item of obedience, an item of faithfulness that you didn't take serious? God will draw your attention to it, and you need to take it serious so it can become formidable. It can become totally and properly harnessed for spiritual warfare. Come into compliance. Bring yourself into compliance. God sent Moses. God sent Moses to Egypt to bring Israel out of Egypt. And the same God that sent him met him on the way to kill him. The wife of Moses did not allow Moses to circumcise his children. She stood in the way of obedience. And God came after Moses. He didn't come after his wife. He came after Moses because he is the one that was instructed. Oh God, I ask for grace for complete obedience, grace for total obedience, grace for instant obedience. I don't want selective obedience. I don't want obedience on the wings of convenience. No way. It's not obedience that is convenient with me. I want to obey God, whether it is convenient or not. It puts you in the team of God. Are you for us or for our adversary? I am not for you. I am not for your adversary. I am the captain of the host of the Lord. I have come to prosecute the battles of God. Any man on my side, I will fight for him. Any man not on my side, I will fight against him. I want to be on the Lord's side. This year, oh God, every ground of disobedience in my life, I want to take those grounds for God. I want the message of the gospel. I want the Lordship of Jesus to conquer those grounds. Hey, Nakara Sona Batai. Hey. Hey. Lord, here we stand in disobedience. We ask for mercy. Your word said, he that is being awful rebuked and hardened his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and there is no remedy. Oh God, save us from our destruction. Every destruction that we have qualified for by reason of disobedience. Oh my Father, we ask for mercy. We will be ready to punish disobedience when our own obedience is complete. I want to come to that ground of complete obedience to God. Oh, Mama Radezeze. Menilo Ratamigeza. Kadino Saitabo. Name we pray. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. The last message our Father gave on the ninth day of this fast, he gave us some indicators that I'd like us to pray about very fast. He said indicators of demonic interferences. Demonic possessions and warfare. So one of it is accident prone.
In the book of Matthew 17, that man that brought his son to Jesus, he said he often fall inside water or fire. All right? We're going to pray. I don't know if you took that matter serious. The second one is near success syndrome. Third is negative cyclical patterns and attacks. Every 3 years, somebody dies. Or every first male born in the family dies. Or every lady married comes back home, either through divorce or death of spouse. All right? Cyclical patterns. Unnatural and prolonged poverty. When the Lord is your shepherd, increasingly and progressively, you will find yourself not wanting. You may not have all you need today, but you are not in that condition that is really, really that abject condition. As the years goes by, things are easing up. Things are getting better and brighter. And if you are finding that there is prolonged poverty, unnatural poverty, every attempt you make to rise up, you get smacked down, there are demons involved. And the fifth indicator is the spirit of heaviness. I'd like you to, in a moment, maybe under 3 minutes or so, pray against any and every of this. Now, praise the Lord. What I want to say, this is going to take my time. Don't wait until there is a manifestation before you begin to deal with it. I don't know about the senior pastors here, but for some of us, even when we did not commit immorality, we are praying that God will deliver you from immorality. I don't know if anybody here prayed that kind of prayer. Right? We're praying, oh God, save me. It's not that you are inside. It's lead me not into it. Can you go ahead and pray? Every spirit of poverty, prolonged, unnatural poverty, go ahead and take authority over it right now. Break that yoke. Break that yoke over your life. If you want to know whether it is around your life, look at your parents, look at your father, look at your brothers, look at your sisters. You can tell what is around the neighborhood. Near success syndrome. Go ahead and scatter that spirit. Destroy that pattern. Destroy that power of near success syndrome. Go ahead and scatter it right now. Someone needs to pray. Someone needs to pray against the spirit of heaviness. Every spirit of heaviness be destroyed. Every spirit of heaviness be destroyed. Let the spirit of joy come upon me. Let the spirit of gladness come upon me. Every unnatural poverty, every prolonged poverty, let it be scattered and arrested. Near success syndrome. Go ahead and rise up in your spirit man and attack that spirit that will not allow you to keep the schedules of your visitation. That man shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of waters that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. Every attack of near success syndrome, that when you come to your season, you are not transiting, you are not translating. Oh God, Mekayatash. Father, we stand in our capacities as kings and as priests over your people, and we arrest, we take authority over the spirit of accident. Every accident prone disposition, we arrest the spirit of near success syndrome right now.
We come against negative patterns, negative health patterns, negative marriage patterns, negative financial patterns, negative educational patterns, negative ministerial patterns, every negative patterns, cyclical patterns, we arrest them right now. We command their hold and their yokes to break, 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 break over families, break up families, break up the young people, break up the people of God. We break the hold, we break the power of the success syndrome right now by fire, by fire, by fire. Every demonic ministerial patterns that when men rise up in ministry, they crash and they are destroyed. They crash and perish. We scatter the pattern right now. Oh yes. Pray for your family right now. Go ahead and pray for your father's house. Pray for your mother's house. Pray for your own household. Destroy near success syndrome, near marriage syndrome, near job syndrome, near graduation syndrome, every near success syndrome, every manipulation around that, that where you are at the verge of breakthrough, something negative happens. Go ahead and break that hold, break that stronghold, break that dominion, break that dominion, break that dominion. Oh yes, it shall come to pass that his burden shall be lifted from off your shoulders and his yoke from off your neck, and the yoke shall be destroyed. Destroy the yoke of near success syndrome, unnatural poverty, scatter unnatural poverty, prolonged poverty, be arrested out of my father's house, out of my life, out of the congregation of God's people. We arrest crucial poverty. We arrest abject poverty. We arrest prolonged poverty. Where no son of the house is prospering, no daughter is prospering. We arrest that spirit right now. That family there, nobody can help anybody. Nobody has the means. Nobody has the wherewithal. Nobody has the capital to help others. No one is enabled to raise others. That is a bad condition. That is a devilish condition. Go ahead and break it. Let your brothers begin to rise up. Let your sisters begin to rise up. Let greatness begin to rise up in that family. Oh God, oh God, oh God, raise mighty men, raise mighty women, raise a great host from this assembly. Oh! Somebody press. Somebody press. 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 In Jesus' name we pray. Galatians 3 verse 1. Say, who has bewitched you, oh foolish Galatians? There are bewitchment that orchestrate foolishness. You are going to pray and say, oh God, I scatter the power of bewitchment. I scatter the power of sorcery in the name of Jesus over my life, over my family, over this assembly. We scatter bewitchment. Go ahead and prosecute. Go ahead and process. Go ahead and forge, fabricate the result through that prayer. every bewitchment over my life, and you start in the spirit and you end in the flesh, go ahead and scatter it right now. Break the cord of bewitchment right now. Right now, over your children, over your husband, over your career, over your walk with God, every bewitchment, break and scatter it right now. Over my calling, every bewitchment, every embargo placed over my call, I scatter it, I scatter it, I scatter it, I scatter it, I scatter it. Every resistance, every restriction, every embargo, every limitation, every obstruction, I command that to scatter and to burn up by fire.
Dearly beloved, we believe you've been greatly blessed by this sermon. Visit spiritnerds.org to download more MP3 sermons of your favorite preachers. Reach us by email for more information and concerns at spiritnerds.org@gmail.com.